Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm with Daniel Tao. We've reached episode number 73 of this thing we call the podcast. Today, we talk with Adam and Austin of the New Jersey deathcore band, Lorna Shore. We talk to them about their new album, which has one of the best and most metal titles I think I've ever heard. We discussed it in the podcast. We also talk about their show or shows coming up, including the Outer Loop Records showcase happening with Youth and Revolt, with Chasing Safety and Migosh, and also they're going down to Tennessee to open for the mighty White Chapel, which still won't do our podcast, but hey, we've been down that road before. Anyways, we talked about a whole bunch of other crazy topics, including the election and politics. I was about to say politics. We talked about a very serious issue, including decontamination of a certain reptile in your food. No, this isn't like a Channel 2 news report at 11. This is a very serious topic that Adam goes really deep into. And he asked me to express this with a brief warning at the beginning of this podcast that shit does indeed go down about this decontamination. But anyways, right before we get into things, thank you guys so much for liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter. You know the drill. I say it every single time, and it really means a lot. If anything, please just tell your friends about the show. Maybe tweet at us and them, say, hey, at BillyKid192, you should definitely check out at Behind the Cade. They are awesome. Or something like that. I don't know. And if someone has BillyTheKid1982 or whatever number I just said, there you go. You got a free plug. You know, that helps a lot. Also, go on iTunes, subscribe. If you use Stitcher, you could subscribe on there. Anywhere you could get podcasts, we're there too. So after this interview, we might have one or two more, and then we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're actually going to come out with some cover videos. Yes, both Dan and I are going to be doing some singing, or some sanging, whatever you want to call it. Dan will be playing some of his instruments. Little guitar action, little drum action. I'll be doing some of my patented screams. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this amazing voice actually does screams. It's great. But anyways, that's coming up down the road. We're also going to have our website hopefully up, and I've been saying that for the last 6 fucking months now, but it is what it is. And we'll hopefully have some merch up too. So big things happening for Behind the Barricade in 2017. It is the year of the barricade. I don't even know what Chinese New Year it is this year, but fuck it. It's the year of the barricade. I'm calling it right now. Anyways, without further ado, episode number 73 with Lorna Mother Effin Shore. Right now.
to a flesh coffin is going to raise some hairs. So you better be careful saying that those two words out loud, because it's going to raise some spirits. That might have just happened. We don't know yet. Wait till the whole album comes out. The whole world's going to have a shadow.
There we go. Wow. And hopefully none of us are all going to be buried underground, hence the name Flesh Coffin.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a reference actually towards like life, like yeah. like living, you know, as this hollow shell, so to say. You know, like you're dead on the inside, but on the outside you're living, you're breathing, you got to do what you got to do every day. But
it's a metaphor for how we see kind of the world, how I feel like many people kind of walk through life like that. You
exactly,
know?
Zombie.
You kind of take it many different ways where you're kind of just a walking dead person, but we allude because of certain things that we have going on in our lives that we're living a meaningful life, but I feel that people just kind of monotonously go through life just doing menial tasks and kind of using those tasks to create this lame existence that they live in. So we can make this title deeper, but how it came about was us just doing words throwing.
If you really were, you know, a couple of smoking a little, poking a little smile, and you know,
yeah,
you start getting down to the themes of it all, and yeah. Best things come naturally, you know. Every time we sit around for like days and days trying to think about something, it never works out good. All the best things that have happened with this band were just
random,
random spark that someone made a call to someone, and we just expanded on the thought. You know? So we're all about going with your gut and kind of just like, no, if you know your band and you know your vision for the band, you should know right off the bat what you want to do. So when that title came about, we didn't even have to discuss it really much further. We knew that was the title, and hopefully it carries a lot more meaning when the album's out and everything's all settled.
Yeah, definitely. And it's out on February 17th, Outer Loop Records, of course.
Mm-hmm. Austin's birthday.
It's actually my birthday the album comes out on.
Damn.
Nice, man. How old are you turning?
23.
Holy fuck, you're young.
Look at that.
Damn, man, 23. I joined Lorna Shore on my 18th birthday.
Oh, my God, wow.
So that date holds many, many meanings, aside from me popping out of my mother's womb.
Yes, almost 23 years ago to
just
the
popping
day.
Popping out.
To the
love
day.
That description.
My mother could celebrate many things now on my birthday, that the album's out, and she loves her son. So.
Yes, but if Blink-182 has taught us anything, it's nobody likes you when you're 23.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had a good run, so I'll take it.
Now, are you part of like that? Like, I mean, some musicians, as myself included, have alluded to the fact that we're all going to die at, like, 27. Like, the ones that, like, really made a mark. Obviously, I made no mark whatsoever. But, like, the important ones usually pass away at 27, usually due to, you know, their own doings, whether it's, you know, heroin or, you know, suicide or something like that. Do you guys feel, I don't want to say you feel the same way, but, like, do you think that, you know, you might be at that point? You know, Lorna Shore is at the point where it made a difference.
Give him the rough reality of it.
I didn't die yet. I'm older than 27.
Okay.
There's also better musicians out there that are older than 27. So I think that's just a kind of weird coincidence. And I think drugs have in part to do with all that. And just
100%.
Yeah. So
oh,
I don't think 27 is the number, but I don't know. I don't think we're at that point yet. I hope not, because that would really suck.
And well, I'll tell you what, as a band, we don't do drugs, so the heroin won't happen. And the suicide, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I just need to get dumbed down. I'm too happy all the fucking time. Yeah. So, you know what? If someone wants to come ruin my day for me, tell them I'll give them my address.
I don't think we're as big as, like, Jimi Hendrix, so I don't think that's going to – if it does hold true to, like, people who are, like, high-stature musicians – like, I'm nowhere near, and you're nowhere near as, like, the caliber of, like,
Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin.
Well, I mean, Kurt Cobain, I mean, no disrespect. I don't really think that he was that great, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't think the band's that great. Everyone will disagree with me, but I don't know. I think that a lot of doing drugs and getting killed by your wife is probably what happened.
Yeah. Okay, you all right. I was just about to ask what you thought about that, and I 100% yeah, agree that she had something to do with something.
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, look at her. That she hasn't killed her husband.
Bro, did you hear those vocal raw tracks from that show, man? You tell me that woman didn't kill someone. He probably had those vocal raw tracks ready to release. He was like, my wife sucks at singing. And she was like, hell no. But no, I mean, on a serious note, you know, that guy, everyone could talk all day about if he got killed or not by his wife. But like you said, all we're left with is this anxiousness and this wonder of, you know, the 27 thing and people, you know, thinking if it's some type of voodoo within the music world. I mean, someone else just died. I think the dude from Architects was 27.
Yeah.
Was he? Fuck.
Yeah,
he, but think about something like this. Like, yeah. Prince wasn't 27. He just died this year. David Bowie.
MJ.
Michael Jackson. Like, those are all, like, Michael Jackson is a prolific musical icon. He died at, what, like, 115? I don't know.
115, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Rick,
I don't know.
Rick James did so many drugs, but he also wasn't that great musician.
Cocaine's one hell of a drug.
Rick James, bitch.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's a weird coincidence, I think, because also because it was all around the same, like, era. Of well, actually not really because Nirvana wasn't, but I mean Hendrix and Janis Joplin were,
and
but,
Lennon and
yeah,
but I don't know. Else is in there.
I just think maybe just the abuse of drugs is probably the issue, and I think usually in your adolescence of being in your 20s, you're more likely to abuse that, and if you do survive, you're like brain dead, like Keith Richards or Ozzy Osbourne. So I mean, I guess at that point, maybe this album does make sense to those people.
Yeah, and I mean, just a little insider is, you know, you can't really be like how musicians used to be nowadays because we have responsibilities. We have to drive our own van. We have to pay for our own van. We have to kind of make sure we live a very responsible life on the road. And I feel like with our band, everyone takes it very seriously. So, like, it's really not even a question as to, you know, if we're going to act out. You know, we'll have fun once in a while, but it's all with each other. It's not really like one person's going out blasting up drugs in the corner and then coming back in the van. Like, everyone's got to drive. Everyone's got to be, you know, coherent. You got to wake up the next day with no amount of sleep, go drive, go play a show. So, like, doing drugs, getting effed up is, like, everyone in this band I know's last fucking thought. So it helps. So hopefully we live a very long, fulfilling life.
And have a long-ass career doing it, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, if we were to ruin something on something so stupid as drugs, it's like, come on, you know. That's just selfish, and then you are not appreciating what life has given you, so we just take it very seriously. We've all done stupid things before the band. You know, I'm not going to say we're all perfect people before the band, but I'd like to say now that we've all kicked a bunch of vices, and we all are pretty much on the same page with each other as far as keeping a right mind, so that we can respect each other's opinions when someone says something. You know,
mm-hmm. No, absolutely, and you need that camaraderie. You need that, you know, acceptance of each other. Like you know, it's not like, you know, was there the five of you in the band?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, one of them's going off, you know, shooting up heroin and coming back, and he's, like, the only one that's, like, completely fucked. You know, all five of you, you know, like you said, are coherent enough to drive, you take what you do seriously, and you never take shit for granted. You know, you play every show like it's your last show, and it's really respectable, especially in this music world.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing with us is probably because we're very grateful for an opportunity that we have and for as long as we've been doing it for. I mean, I think that there's so much competition that you can easily fall off and people can replace you in a moment's notice. So we don't really want that to happen. So we're kind of grateful for the moment that we have, but we want to ruin it with, like you said, something silly as like doing drugs. And like I said, we do cut back and have fun, but we kind of know when the right time and place is. And obviously, like you said, no one's going in the back alley behind the venue doing heroin, coming back in and as if nothing happened. Like that's not a normal routine for someone in our band.
You got to look out for each other. Being in a band, you know, if you care about the people you're in a band with, you won't let someone fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. And usually, often not, when you see a band is effed up, everyone in the band is effed up. You know, so it's just, you know, when you're in a band, everyone just, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do. Everyone has to be, you know, the biggest influence and inspiration for each other. So, you know.
Now, do you guys feel that because you were in the band that, like, forced you to kick vices and stuff, or?
I don't know. I think we've kind of kicked them before, luckily. I think no one really had to kind of deal with that while being in this band. I think we all kind of, I don't know. I mean,
got together at the right time.
Yeah. I think also a lot of us were all social outcasts before the band. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we were like the cool kids growing up and was like, you know, had that availability. I just think that since a lot of us have spent most of our 20s in this band, like just pushing towards that band where most people would get involved in like going out and getting around to all these drugs, like we were kind of more motivated to like get this band on the road as opposed to just like focusing on the weekend of like doing stuff that might inhibit that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like some people wouldn't play a weekend tour, a self-booked weekend tour to no one, and they'd rather, you know, they'd come home from that weekend tour and be like, oh, I could have just stayed home and chilled with my friends, you know. Yeah. I mean, with this band, it's just, you know, we went out and we just like I joined later on as the drummer. Everyone who was in the band, except Connor, was in the band already. But, you know, they kind of just basically from the get-go, they taught me what it was like, you know, to not really expect anything. So, like, even till this day, if we play a show not in front of a lot of people, it doesn't, it's not going to make me question my choices in life, you know, like no matter what, play music is playing music no matter where we're at. And like, it's helped us not fall into those paths or like, you know, I could sit around home all day and, you know, do drugs if I wanted to, but like, there's way too much to think about and there's way too much to worry about that it would only hinder the process and people would just call me and be like, what the hell is your issue?
Yeah. You
know, it's so unheard of now that it's like, if I just started doing it, people would just come smack me. Like, what is your problem, man? Like, get out of it. Cause it's so out of our character to do something like that. So, you know, I like to promote that we like to have fun. People can come have fun with us. You know, we're not a straight edge band or anything, but you know, we respect everyone and you know,
I think we
don't want to set that example for people to, you know, get effed up and stuff. Like, you know, there's certain bands that push that message and that's just not part of us.
I just think we're just more driven to focus on the band rather than like focus on like seeing how much stuff we can ingest. Yeah.
Various right. parts of our body.
Yes. Various orifices.
Yeah. I think that was more of our purpose. And I think that since it's been a habit for the band for such a long period of time, that like it's kind of just embedded in like who we are. And I think that we kind of started surrounding ourselves like as far as like picking up new members who kind of go along with that, I think. So I don't know. We never had to like kick any vices. No one like on tour was like,
yeah, battling. Cut it out.
Yeah. I think everyone since I've been in this band and everyone since has pretty much been the same way since they've joined or since as long as I've been in the band. So mm-hmm. no one's really gained a new habit or if anything, everyone kind of like went to a positive direction. I think we started like all of us started working out on tour, which is probably the best thing we've done. We're like more health conscious a little bit more now. I mean, it's hard to be health conscious on the road, but I think we kind of went into a positive shift as opposed to like most bands go into like
a lazy kind of
negative shift, I guess. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, like you said, not a lot of bands actually, you know, work out, you know, try to eat healthy. I mean, obviously, you know, if it's 3 a.m. you're hungry and you see McDonald's, okay, maybe just like that one time. But, you know, like you're very health conscious about everything. You know, you just you have a positive outlook, and which is very, you know, I hate to use the term refreshing, but it is. I mean, you don't see that many with that many bands. Like you take even like the New Jersey scene. I mean, I'm sure you've seen local band after local band think they're like the hottest shit. And then they go on stage, play a mediocre set, and they only do it for like, you know, for girls or for fucking alcohol or whatnot. While you guys are out there, you know, bettering yourselves, you're playing fucking Weekend Warriors, maybe up in like the fucking Catskills or, you know, fucking up in Vermont where there's maybe like two kids that come out, but you guys go hard for those two kids because they actually came out and saw your band. You know, it sounds awesome.
I mean, yeah, man, you got to give everyone like, you know, it just because we're not feeling it that day doesn't mean those kids that woke up that day expecting to see us, you know, they're not going to be like, oh, they're not feeling it today. You know, we have not that things are expected of us, but I don't ever want to step on a stage and people go, man, they did not care today, you know, because that is the most disheartening thing when you see someone that you've looked forward to seeing and no one cares. Because, I mean, me personally, like a band like Memphis Mayfire, who's huge now, mm-hmm. I've seen with an old vocalist in a small internet cafe in Red Bank. I was one of maybe 10 people there and they set up their light boxes. They did everything they could. They played one of the most serious shows I've ever seen a band play in a little cafe with little tables around. And like from that day when I was probably like 14, 15 years old, I remember I was just like, I was so like, I looked forward to seeing that band so much because I looked forward to them online. I was just like, this is crazy. So like, you know, I mean, and also, our music doesn't give us really much room to be lazy on stage.
No, not at all.
You know what, man? I don't feel like playing that fast today. I'm just going to give them whatever I can give them tonight. No, I got to give them my – and that's what, you know, coming down to being healthy and the working out thing, it helps you be mentally healthier. You know, I've gotten healthier as a person and just like, you know, it's something that we all need. You know, we all need to let that out every day on tour and like – and lift with each other. And it's a good thing. You know, you see bands like Whitechapel, they'll be outside of the show, you know, they're known for bringing out the bench press and just start deadlifting. And you know, it's intimidating, you know, it's intimidating when you see a band taking their job seriously, you know, and that's what I want people to do when they look at us and be like, man, they're taking this shit seriously. Like they're not going nowhere, you know? So you gotta put in the work. You gotta put in the time.
I just also think aside from being in the band, I think we're also fans of music as well. It's kind of why we got into a band. And I think that we kind of put ourselves in the listener's perspective. I think that we try not like, you know, I wouldn't want to see a band that I really wanted to see and they just didn't give a fuck because like these people are spending their money, regardless of how much it is, they're spending their money and their time to come out and see me or see our band. I would kind of want – it wouldn't do any justice if I was like, oh, well, I will only give my 100% effort based off of how many people in the room. And that's not fair to – you know, if we're, like you said, in a town in the middle of Vermont. Like, I can't expect that. And regardless, even if we are playing in a major city and nobody happens to come out or no one happens to care about us, like, that's not fair, like, for maybe the one or two kids that are there that want to see us and are expecting something because – we're not getting our egos filled because there's not a whole room chanting.
Yeah, it's not sold out. You know, you're not headlining Irving Plaza. Yeah, I get it. But
that's just kind of how we kind of see it. So.
And we feel very far from that point. You know, like if someone was like, yo, Lauren Shore headlining Irving Plaza, I'd be like, yeah, that can't happen right now. Like maybe, you know, we'll go on tours, kids will joke, like, dude, why aren't you headlining this tour? It's like, because if we did, no one would be here. But, you know, but like, I remember one time we had a show got canceled. We were on a Rings of Saturn tour. A show got canceled the day before. They're like, "Yo, the show in Georgia and tomorrow's canceled." So I posted online. I was like, "Anyone can hook us up with a show." Some kid threw us on some random show out of nowhere. You know, got us paid. We drove all the way there to Augusta, Georgia, and ended up playing a pretty cool freaking show. We ended up, you know, selling a couple hundred bucks in merch. Like we would have just sat around all day and did nothing, but you know, some kid made it happen for us. Spread the word really quick, and it looked like a long old abandoned laundromat in Augusta, Georgia, called the Iron Heights, actually. But those people are great, you know. Shout out to them for putting us on a bill less than 24 hours and having people actually come see us. It was nuts. But like those little shows are things you don't forget because it was such a close experience. Like I love playing big shows; it's what we live for. But you know, those shows kind of go by because, you know, I go on stage and I play and I kind of walk off. But like those little shows, you know, we're forced to be, and not forced, but like, you know, we're out there with everyone and we always have such a good time because people are coming up. We want people to come talk to us. You know, if people don't come talk to us, that's on them. I'll tell you right now. We'll talk to anyone and everyone. If some kids like, yo, I tried talking to them, but they didn't talk to me. No. Maybe you're just too shy.
That's a lie, sir.
That's absolutely a bold-faced lie.
Bold-faced lie.
You are fucking lying.
Every last one of us would talk to anybody. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're like, I don't know. There's a bunch of different people that come to a show, and I think that we would probably talk to almost anyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah, like we will give anyone the time of day that cares to give us the time of day. So
yeah,
that's kind of how we see it.
You know, when we played Seattle, one of our first tours, this kid Jin, shout out to Jin in Spokane. You know, some kids were giving him some because he had like a mutated arm, and some kids were giving him some shit. And Tom stepped up and he's like, "Yo, if you're gonna make fun of that kid, you're gonna make fun of me." And then the kids immediately, you know, shut off what they were, you know, talking shit about the kid for. You know, started apologizing, and the kid comes to our shows all the time. And he came up to me, pulled me aside, maybe like third show he's come to us in Washington. He's like, "Yo, Singer's such a great person. You know, he stood up for me. I'll never forget that." So you know. I don't care if it's the cool guy in the room with all the tattoos who looks like he's in a band, you know, that's not what I'm playing music for. I'm playing music because I want to see the people that are giving us attention, the people that are spreading my band's name when I'm just sitting here, you know, talking to you right now, you know, like those are the people that mean the most to us. So like, you know, I hate when kids try and come up to us and, you know, they act like, you know, not that I don't like being put up on a pedestal, you know, none of us do. We're all fucking people. So like when they come talk, we'll all just hang out. You know, if kids are bringing us some alcohol or something, I'll be like, let's drink it together. You know, some bands, they'll just take it and run and go drink it with the rest of the band. I'm always like just trying to have a good time with whoever's trying to have a good time with us because we're always far from home. Who am I to turn down a good time from someone far away from home who's just trying to.
Exactly. Yeah.
Make me feel comfortable in their city, you know. That's the greatest thing, when people just make us feel at home when we're so far away. So
exactly. And you know, it goes back to say, all right, you know what, who the fuck are you? You know, you're not fucking Kiss, you're not fucking, you know, Linkin Park, two random fucking bands I know, but you know you're not at that, you know, arena rock level where you're able to just say, oh yeah, we got fans, all right, if I blow you off, there's still, you know, hundreds and hundreds like you and stuff like that. I mean, you guys take the time out to talk with these people and you establish relationships, which is the most important thing.
I think even if we became as big as Kiss, I think we would still probably be the same way. I feel like I don't really think that I don't know, because I feel like when I go to shows, I just sit in the backstage area and like you're just kind of back there. It's more boring than if you're out talking to like a bunch of people. I'd rather be outside like freezing, like hanging out with a bunch of people than sitting in the green room on the couch like on my phone. Because that's pretty much what you're doing anyway. I mean, unless like these other people live this lavish life, I don't understand. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like I enjoy hang out with people that want to hang out with us. And I think, you know, we all come from, like I said, we're all outcasts. We're not the cool people. So for people to take time out of their day to want to talk to any one of us, we're more grateful for that because we've kind of not really experienced that, you know, predominantly our entire life. So
yeah, we're like the weird circus animal, you know. We got one person, we got the person that comes and pets us, you know, once a day and says, "Oh, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Just wait till I let you out of this cage and you can show everyone what the fuck you're about." And then we get in front of the circus. We show everyone what the fuck is good. I'm a happy lion with a ball on my head, and then they put me back in the fucking cage. You know, like
perfect analogy.
Yeah,
a little analogy, but you know what I was getting with that.
Oh yeah,
like definitely. You know, it's like we sit at home and we don't get that, like, you know, that love. Like, we don't really feel that appreciation for what we do when we're home too much. You know, not from, like, you know, home, but like just like living every day. You know, because some of us work, some of us don't leave our houses. You know, because we're so fixated on, you know, the band. So it's like, when we're on tour, that's the moment for us to kind of get our feedback. You know, we're trying to see what people think about us. You know, we're trying to know if what we're doing is good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, the circus animal, bro. Circus animal.
It's all about that circus animal.
Figure out what that circus analogy means,
but I get to my
grave. We'll roll with
Dude,
it.
We got tricks no one knows, and we just want to show them. Oh, man.
Now, if you could drum with a ball on your nose, that'd be the most balling thing I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But no, Tom wanted me to do vocals when I'm live. I told him, no. I have a tough enough time breathing while playing.
Exactly. Go fuck yourself. Do your own vocals.
In a nutshell, yes. Yes. Go F yourself, Tom.
But
Shout out to Pablo from Chelsea Grand for screaming while he plays drums, because that guy's a monster.
Yeah, I mean, like, I look at bands like Under Oath, where you have Aaron Gillespie, you know, playing some, like, really, I don't want to say, like, really technical shit, but, like, really fast shit while singing, like, pitch perfectly. And I'm like, how the fuck are you doing this right now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy. I mean, even playing, like, a guitar and singing, that takes a lot of time. You know, it's like the same people that, like, you know, walk and chew bubble gum. You can't do that at the same time. You know, it's hard to do two things at once, and people don't really realize it.
Well, dude, try playing Trivium. Like, he plays some pretty intricate stuff while playing guitar and singing.
Oh, Matt Heafy?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ascendance. Put that on the influential list of Lorna Shore music.
Exactly.
Ascendancy, man. Like Light to Flies.
Yeah, that's like one of their most epic songs.
Honestly, haven't kept up with the band much. But that album will always be the shit.
Yeah, we actually just talked to him, when, September, was it?
I think
it was late September. Yeah, we talked with Paolo, the bass player. Very nice guy.
Yeah, he seems the nicest out of... I mean, Corey seems pretty cool, too, but...
Yeah, I mean, it sucked because, like, I had all these questions for Matt, just mostly about his tattoo, and I was just very fascinating about how he got a tattoo in his asshole. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
Oh. Where's the radio show alarm that I can ring off? It just got hairy.
Literally. But, I mean, I don't know if you guys seen it yet, but, like, look up his back tattoo. Like, it's literally beautiful. Like, it's...
Ooh, got, what was Corey?
That? No,
Corey?
Matt.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah. So he's got a back tattoo that goes from the top, from, like, in his neck, from the back of his neck, all the way down into his asshole. And I just had, like, four questions about his asshole. I swear to you.
Well, I mean,
did you get to the bottom of it?
No, because Matt wasn't there. I wasn't going to ask him about his bandmate's asshole tattoo, although it would have been funny.
So what do you think about Matt Heavey's asshole? I mean, his tattoo on his asshole.
Yeah.
Like, can you phone a friend real quick, call Matt, and ask him this for me?
Yeah. We got a recorder. Just put him on speaker. No one will care. You know, there's like 5,000 interviews going around us. Who gives a fuck about any of them? We're getting to the bottom of that person's ass tattoo. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing going on right now.
I'll tell you what. The most important thing going on in our world, besides our song coming out today, is this video we found of my friend played a flute. He's playing a Star Wars theme song with his flute. Uh-huh. Our boy Micromosh, he does radio shows too, actually.
Yeah, that was my finding for the day. It was
That was beautiful. Hold on, actually, just so the people at home can get a hint of the talent in Jersey.
Oh,
hold on.
Star Wars theme song.
Dude, Dude, the talent that comes out of Jersey, people ask, yo, how, you know, what does Lauren Shore do to write their songs? Like, dude, we're from New Jersey, man. Talent just comes out of the faucet and you drink it. I don't know what you're drinking at home, if you're putting it through the Brita. Putting it through the Brita too many times, but our shit's pure when we get it.
You get some Jersey fluoride in your system.
You probably got so much more than that.
Oh, yes, of course.
Good Pete's. Adam's favorite pizza store. Yeah, it's actually a pizza store, not pizza shop. It's in this town in Union. You got to go there. They have one sign. It says cheese, pepperoni, garlic knots, and that's it. You can't get anything else there unless it's a Coca-Cola.
You can get so much more than that. You can't buy shit. I'm just like, it's just pizza.
I'm sorry. We only sell pizza ingredients. You can't buy the pizza here. If you want pepperoni, chicken, and cheese, we can sell it to you, but that's it.
Adam was hyped they added a counter, so he doesn't have to stand in the middle of the floor. And
they did add a counter, though.
Well, now they have to change up their sign to include counter, too.
No chair, just a counter.
They though. Did add a counter, though. That was pretty sick.
Pepperoni, cheese,
golf. But that's
nuts.
The best part about being from Jersey. I think we have the best type of food. And, like, you know, you don't get good Chinese food anywhere. But Austin decided to get...
Not even China.
No, Austin decided to get 5-star Chinese food from Texas, and it looked atrocious.
Yelp reviewed 4.5-star Chinese food. Let me tell you what, man. I got pad thai. They put angel hair pasta with a couple of saffron leaves or something and called it pad thai.
But yeah, no, you can get Chinese food, you get Italian food, you get pizza, bagels, like some of the best stuff to eat, and you can't get that like anywhere else. So like that's kind of one thing that we're really hyped about from being from New Jersey, or like the Northeast rather. Like we're trying, you know, this little area because the food here is the best, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. Like Mexican food is sick and like, oh, barbecue is cool.
Oh, barbecue.
Barbecue.
Barbecue. Oh,
man. It's cool. But I think that like, I don't know, after a while, I kind of just want some good old fashioned pasta, pizza. Fucking
listen,
burgers.
Adam just wants pepperoni, cheese, or garlic.
Well, that's what That's pizza. Pizza's not...
Once you add pineapple on it, Adam's pissed.
Oh, yeah, go fuck yourself, eh?
Pineapple belongs in the garbage when it comes to pizza.
Adam made the video Arnold's Pizza Shop. What's up? Like, broccoli, I'll kill you.
You want extra bullets?
Actually, Adam writing the new album.
See, there you go. See, Tim Lambesis of As I Lay Dying did the whole Austrian death machine thing. You could just take it over. He's not doing anything anytime soon.
We're doing Adam's Pizza Shop. We're going to do a whole short film, Adam's Pizza Shop. It's going to be a little fucking shop.
I will totally do that.
Cheese, pepperoni, dog nuts.
It'll be 100% accurate, too.
Doesn't even tell you about the slice. Not cheese slice, pepperoni slice.
You got to figure that out.
You got to figure it out. And the prices are so cheap, you think they're just giving you cheese or pepperoni. It's a dollar. Like, come on. Like, we don't Jew people here in Jersey.
When it comes to pizza, we
When it comes to pizza. Bagels, you know, that's their territory. I don't take that over, but I got a good place. While we're here, shout out to La Bagel. Hopefully they'll give me a membership or something for doing this for them. But La Bagel is an all Spanish-owned bagel shop down the street from me.
Honestly,
they kill
it. It honestly is really sick. I will give them that.
They wake up at 4 a.m. and make me my bagels so I can get there at 2 in the afternoon.
They told you what time they wake up?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. That's fucking dedication, man. You think Lorna Shore is dedicated? Try waking up 4 a.m. to make a random guy a bagel at 2 p.m.
All right, they don't make it just for him. He's
well, I know that, but
he's just lazy and rolls in at the when they close.
I'll tell you what, though, when I walk in and they don't got the bagel I want, they know they're pissed. They're punishing themselves in the back room.
What do you get?
I get a pork roll, egg, and cheese.
On a what?
On a roll.
Come on, who says pork roll? It's Taylor Ham.
Actually, I'm defeating. I'm just shooting myself in the foot here because I get a roll.
Yeah. So,
but if I get the bagel, it's with cream cheese because it's fucking.
What kind of bagel?
I'm not getting onion bagel. You onion turtle.
I do like onion bagels and garlic bagels.
Let's let the record for that. Adam D'Amico of Lauren Shore loves onion bagels.
I do love onion bagels. There's nothing fucking wrong with onion bagels.
If he's having a burger, put it on a fucking onion bun.
Who doesn't like onion buns? Or pretzel buns.
Pretzel buns is where it's at, man.
Definitely. Thank you. We went to this place in Savannah, and I think they serve gator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Savannah. What was that place? It was good, though.
I think the meat was gator. I don't know. That's what Gary said.
No. What was it?
Cross-contamination.
No, what was it? Alligator cross-contamination. Yeah. All right. So yeah, one more thing that we can teach is a serious epidemic in the United States is alligator cross contamination. When you go to a restaurant and you're worried about the food being contaminated by something, it's probably an alligator. So just fucking watch out, all right, everyone. Just don't ask questions. We don't even got to talk about it anymore. I just want to let it known for the record.
Alligator cross contamination.
Alligator cross contamination.
It's an epidemic.
It's fucking scary shit, people.
That's a great PSA right there.
Honestly, it would be a slogan if I was running for president.
Alligator cross Adam D'Amico, 2020. What's your main plan, sir? What's your first thing you're gonna do in office? I will attack alligator cross contaminated from the base.
From the source.
From the fucking source.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
So yeah, there.
I think we went off on a tangent on this. So.
Yeah. Right, so let's.
This whole show is a tangent. Fuck it.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know if you have any more questions. Any sort of like.
Yeah, hit us with some. Hit us with something real.
What's yes. Some? Who did you vote for?
Oh, that's fucking real.
What?
I said, who did you vote for?
On election day, I was at this place called Destination Dogs in New Brunswick with my good friend Compton. And we were taking shots looking at the election results just in awe. Just because I don't even give a fuck. But he voted for Gary Johnson because he just wanted to go waste his fucking vote.
Waste his time in the voting booth for sure.
I mean, how many people voted for that guy because he faked a heart attack? Let's be honest.
That was sick.
I mean, it was honestly, if I would have known about that video before the polls were closed, I would have went and voted.
I found that pretty funny.
8 p.m. when the polls were closed.
Oh god. Yeah, I mean I will admit it, I voted for Gary Johnson just because, you know, if the Libertarian Party got 5% of the votes, they would have gotten $10 million in funding, which will in turn, you know, help out with like a third party candidate and stuff like that. Because I think it's bullshit that anyone can run for president, but we're narrow everything down to two people. And that's it.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. And you know what? Hey man. Just you even telling me that just shows that I'm not informed. No one's informed. You know, how many people knew that? Do you think knew that?
No. Not 5% worth of the country. They got about like 3.
And if they did, maybe something would have been done about it. But, you know, there's too much. I mean, not to get too much in the light, but there was too much, you know, everyone was just painting a picture over everyone else and to the point where you were looking at it and you're like, dude, I don't even know what I'm looking at anymore. You know what I mean? It was just put so many faces and things and you know, names or whatever were painted to certain people that it just came down to what, you know, everyone was just so over it, and including us. So
yeah, we're absolutely 100%.
You know, we've talked about it in the band. I mean, you know, not that we care about politics much, but you know, we do care about our lives and our family's lives. You know, as selfish as we could be, going on tour and leaving our family behind, we kind of want someone around to take care of them. And It's kind of frightening to see so many people make it a joke and so many people turn it into something that
is more than what it really is.
Yeah, like, oh my god, like as I haven't even been alive that long. I've only been alive for so many elections or so many presidents, but this was the one where I just sat there and I was like, man, this is crazy. Like people hated Obama. Everyone hates Bush. You know, I don't think we've ever had a president that everyone liked, and that's just our system that we have, and that's how it works. But like, I don't know. People need to chill out, you know. Instead of focusing on the bad, focus on the good. The one guy, Mike Johnston, the drummer, he posted a video and he said, you know, the president isn't going to raise your child. The president isn't going to teach your child right from wrong. So that's up to you. And whether all of our children and our families are going to have a better future, that's on you. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Everyone can just lead by – you got to lead by example. If you want someone to act a certain way, act that way yourself, you know. So – you know, whether it's being in a band and inspiring people or it's going to work every day and feeding your family, you know, it's like we're all just trying to help each other out and fucking not let the president tell us what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. And when was the last time the president actually told us what to do?
He never came to my door.
He never told either one of us that you have to play guitar or play drums in a band or you guys can't do this. You know, like
free will.
So, I mean, I think that's the way that we kind of see it. It's like, it's not going to inhibit what we want to do. People might, you know, delve deep into us and tell us that one day it will inhibit what we do because A, B, C, and D, because they read some article on Facebook. So that's what's going to happen. So I just rather not focus on any of that stuff. And
exactly.
I think it was such a very long process that's so drained that I think I was just ready for it to be over. I was like, just put someone in already so I can stop seeing this. But it's not stopping. Now it's just
– It's got worse.
Protesters protesting it, and then we have people protesting the protesters that they're protesting it. So at this point, I don't fucking know. Maybe someone will blow us up, and then it'll be all over at this point. That's what I'm bracing for.
Honestly, I don't want to say people are stupid, but man, they make it really hard for me to say they're smart.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, I will never say someone's dumb. I will hear someone out. I'm not, you know, my perfect example, my mother and my father, they've been divorced my whole life. My mother and my stepfather voted for Trump. My dad and his girlfriend voted for Hillary. I've heard both sides. I know every, you know, I've heard it all. I can agree with it all, you know. Mm-hmm. At this point, it was just who's going to be who. It doesn't matter who's the best fit. It doesn't matter who everyone likes. Who's going to, you know, it's just who is it going to be? Like, it doesn't matter, like, who we think is going to be the best, because, I mean, whether it's up to us or not, that's a whole different discussion. But, yeah. You know, I don't think the world's any worse now that you know, someone else is in office. And the only thing that I feel bad for is the people that are sitting in their homes worried and terrified for their lives. Because,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you right now, I can't feel that feeling. I'm not going to act like I can. But all I can do is just give those people my respect when they're around me, make them feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I kind of fear with this, how the election went, is just kind of gave power to people to kind of do stuff that they shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be saying. And like I said, neither one of us can relate to it, but I think I wouldn't want anyone to kind of feel like in fear for their life, that like they're going to be, you know, harassed or deported or like what's going to happen to them. And I think that like, and just people just approach them for, you know, for whether they're a Muslim or whatever it may be. And I just feel like that just to me is like what I don't think being an American is about, is like approaching someone who isn't what you're like and kind of harassing them and making them feel like they're not welcome, since this country was founded on pretty much everyone kind of coming here and making it their own. So I don't know. That's the one part I don't like about the election, is that the supporters of Trump were definitely more, I don't know, hateful towards certain topics. And,
or even if they were hateful, just more old, quote unquote, old school with their, you know, thinking. And like, I'm sorry to tell you, the old school thinking, it hinders progression, you know. Yeah. What's the point of us talking about change and making a better world when people are voting based on the past and how they liked it back then? You know, like, and there are people on the news that I've watched, like, you know, I'll be at the gym, I'll watch the CNN, you know, thing while I'm on the treadmill, you know, just so I can watch. But like, there are people in the Republican Party who will tiptoe around the word, you know, basically saying that, you know, people were racist that voted for Trump. They were tiptoeing around that, and people straight up said to them, like, yo, like, you know, you're saying, oh, people voted based on old school methods, and a lot of the vote were, you know, older people. And hey, I'm sorry, I love everyone, I love all my family, but man, when the old people die and those traditions die and that, you know, way of thinking dies, you know, and hopefully it does, because, you know, I mean, too many people raise their children with that mentality, but I'm hoping that one day those ideas will all die with the people, and, you know, we can all fucking just accept that this land personally is not ours, you know. Yeah. So like, it's like everyone can act like, oh, we could send people back to where they came from, and then, you know, like Trump's policy, I'll send them back, and then there's something they can do to come in. But it's like, who is he to dictate it? Because every single person that is here, other than the Native Americans or people of Native American descent, are here. You know, this is not our land. You know, this is stuff that we've taken over. So it's like, you know, appreciation is just dead. Everyone thinks they're owed everything. Everyone, you know, it's just – it all just comes down to greed, power, and money. So there's nothing that any of us without power can do, or money, or that greed in our mind, you know. We all just live we just care too much. Everyone just cares too much, and the people above don't give a fuck. So
yeah.
Everyone just got to keep caring for each other, and, you know, let's go back to the old school ways where you go to the fucking city hall, you know, a million deep. And we just start screaming Lorna Shore at everyone, and you know, buy the album. You know, maybe I'll go to the White House tomorrow, start protesting, and I'm gonna flip my sign around. It's gonna be the flesh coffin sign.
Do it.
You won't. You know,
that'll raise some hairs, but you know, but then I'm just, you know, people start painting a picture of me and my band, and then next thing you know, my band's done because I went and did that, because I stood up for us. So
make Lorna Shore great again.
Yeah.
Dude, make riffs great again.
Yeah, honestly.
Can we make that hat?
Can we make riffs great again?
Can we make that hat?
Seriously. Why not? Do it.
I think an idea just bloomed right on the camera. Make riffs great again.
Or something off that, because
make licks.
Licks?
And just have a nice Les Paul guitar, right? You know how I feel about Les Paul.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's kind of how we feel about politics. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a long overdue, like, talked about process, so I think we're just fucking had about enough of it.
Yeah. I'm moving. He's not going to speak, though.
Okay.
We're getting our other guitarist is here, but don't you dare ask him a question.
Please don't ask him a single question.
He doesn't know anything.
Gotcha. <All right. laughs> Oh God, yeah, but I mean, like you said, you know, we're all on this planet, and you know, in my eyes, we're not gonna be here for that much longer. I mean, one day we're here today, tomorrow we could be all gone. And you know, like, if you look back on your lives, are you going to look back and say, oh shit, you know what, I protested the way I didn't like this because my guy didn't win? And in the end, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're only here for a certain amount of time. Are you just going to, you know, protest the fact that some guy you don't like got in? And you know, I don't know. Politics is just fucking strange.
I don't know.
I feel like the way I see politics is very equivalent to the World Cup. People only care about the World Cup when it's going on, and then people stop caring about soccer. Man. And I feel like that's what's kind of going on right now. I mean, maybe people will still care more about, like, politics and what's kind of going on, but no one really kind of talks about this stuff unless, like, an election's coming up. Like, nobody was talking about the government in 2013. Nobody was. People didn't start talking about the government until there was – Republican primaries and the Democratic primaries. That's when people start talking about it. Other than that, it's just like equivalent to the World Cup. People only talk about it when soccer's going on. And after that, people don't acknowledge that it's a sport. So
honestly, when's the next season of the Kardashians coming out? That's all.
That's my reason why Aliens hasn't come down here yet, because we've had, what, 19 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Something like that, yeah.
You take that back. That's a great show. That's a great show.
For her brother. And then I think Caitlyn's making a TV show. Like, this is why we're going to get, like, destroyed. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm not one of those haters of the Kardashians, but, like, there's a reason why no one's coming out and saving us.
Listen, man, let me just spit you a little thing there, Dan. All right? All right? If aliens were real, right, and they gave us this technology, right? Let's say you were the alien, right? You gave your son a computer. You're like, here, son. You could do whatever you want. You could do your homework with this. You could do it's got a calculator. Oh, you could look up anything in the world on this computer. And your son goes, starts posting memes, fucking looks at porn, starts doing all the fucked up shit, right? What are you going to think about your son? That he's a wasteful, useless piece of shit.
That's what we got.
And that's what we are to the aliens. They gave us this technology, and what did we do?
We got the Kardashians.
We created the internet, and now we have the Kardashians.
And Kanye West.
I'm fucking out of here, bro. We
got Kanye memes. And now Joe Biden memes.
Oh, those are fucking hysterical, though.
They're great, but, like, that's what we do. That's what.
But listen, man, that's the problem. They're too good.
I know.
There's only supposed to be 5 of them, not fucking 100,000.
It started off with 5, and then it just kept going and going.
Harambe got 15,000 votes, right? If those would have went to Gary Johnson, maybe that 5% thing you were talking about that I have no idea about because I just heard about it today would have fucking happened.
And we get legal pot.
Yes.
But at what expense, though? What happened because of the legal pot, Dan?
I have no clue.
Oh, see?
What happened?
Basically, the people that voted for legal pot voted, like, if you voted for legal pot, you voted no to, like, something else that was, like, really important.
Oh, yeah.
Now you voted for legal pot, there's no more playgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, but like, not for nothing. It does help the economy a little bit.
As long as they have their bong and they're in their room.
But, dude, where's all the high people going to play?
Now they're going to be in food, though.
Depressed about their life.
What high people do you know that go out and play?
McDonald's is totally going to increase their sales.
For the record, me and Tom Barber go out and play every
time.
When
was the last time you were talking about high and went out to a park?
Yeah, exactly. So it's horseshit.
Yeah, but I mean, I am a, I don't want to say a huge marijuana activist, but I really want marijuana to be legal in all 50 states. I mean, there's so many more pros than cons.
Oh, but Denver made it so you can smoke inside restaurants now.
Yep. Really? Yep, that's really? Happening.
Yeah, so hopefully when we play shows in Denver, you can just smoke pot inside the venue.
Well, no, wait a second. You can't smoke pot inside, but outside you can. Like, you could take, like, edibles inside or, like, vape, but you cannot actually
you
smoke.
Just, like, just spark up in the middle. Like,
Pete's get a free beer. Just like, yo, what up?
But, yeah, no, I mean, I think it just should be because I feel like, regardless if you're into it or not, I don't think it has a...
Like,
I think it just should be legal, like, countrywide. I mean, but I don't know. It is what it is. Eventually it will be. It's like alcohol.
I think it should be – hey, if you don't make marijuana legal, I think alcohol should be illegal. You know, just to like yeah. – it's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense why one's legal and the other is illegal.
Well, it's like, the whole gateway drug thing. Like, yeah. if you smoke pot, then you're going to try heroin and coke. Think, it's like, no, you're
I
not.
I think you're just pre-wired to want to do more anyway. I don't think like – I don't really think I've been around smoking pot where I'm like, damn, man. Who has like some H that we can do right now? Like I've never been.
Who's got an eight ball?
It's usually been like
it's usually how you are as a person.
Yeah, I think if you like want to go towards those things, it's not like that's not going to allow you to do that. I feel like I've had more instances of like harder drugs just going to a bar and being around other people that are doing that rather than like the people you smoke pot with personally.
Yeah,
like people
absolutely.
Pot with you smoke pot, you order pizza, you watch something on TV, and like that's your night, and like you're content with that. But like when you go out to a bar. And you drink some beer, you might be around other people that might do like something else, you know, and you're more, I feel like those times I've been around more people that do like something else heavier than pot is when I've gone to like bars and been around people
oh, yeah.
like that.
When someone's drinking alcohol, I mean, my mom is not going to listen to this, but when I'm drinking alcohol, I want to do everything in the world. But when I'm smoking weed, I only want to smoke weed. And, you know, maybe it's just because weed's more natural, you know, and for me, it's like you don't really need all the synthetic shit or whatever it may be. But like alcohol, they will never get rid of because look how much money is to be made in alcohol, you know, like,
exactly.
And now that they're noticing how much money weed can make, you know, now it's starting to become a thing. It can pay off many good things. Cause what better thing to spend your money on than a bunch of weed every week? You know, when you make $300 a week, you're gonna spend $100 on that weed and it's going to go to the government. They're going to spend it on hopefully good things. It's like, it could work. It's just, do we want to let it work? You know,
yeah, that's so. True.
Again, goes back to old people.
And then it goes back to the old
them
dude.
Old people.
He was balding. And, you know, he obviously don't smoke weed. And he's looking at me like I was crazy because I smell like it. You know, mind your business. That's it. Mind your business.
Oh, man.
Oh, God almighty. Jesus Christ. This was probably the craziest tangent show we've ever had, Dan.
It was pretty fun,
this
though.
That's what it turned into. Lorna Short is the tangent.
Flesh Coffin, 2/17/17.
Yep. Outer Loop Records. You have your showcase tomorrow, which is November 17th with Migosh.
Migosh.
Yeah, there you go. I said that right, finally. yes, Youth and Revolt and Chasing Safety at the studio at Webster Hall. Very small venue, very intimate. You get up close, you get spit on, you get whatever whatever else happens at a Lorna Shore show.
Not really anything crazy. I mean,
if you want to get spit on just like every other show, Gary's going to come spit on you.
There you go. I mean, hey, some people are into it. I mean, who am I to judge?
John opens his mouth.
Yes. What was that?
No, it's ongoing.
I said, yo, this interview was sick until Gary spit on me.
Now it just got sexy. All right, guys, I think we covered a lot.
is there any other like actual questions? I think we went off a tangent about alligator cross contamination.
Oh yeah,
pizza and bagels, accessories.
That was brought up.
That's the best part of my campaign. That's the first thing I'm doing is getting rid of alligator cross contamination.
Add to Vigo 2020.
My pilot for my Adams Pizza Shop.
Yep.
We really didn't talk much about the album for more than 2 minutes. So if you have any actual rapid fire questions, we can answer them.
Yeah, let's go. Yo, Power Hour. Boom.
What do you think about the new Metallica?
I didn't check it out yet. So
you suck. Next question.
Magnetic, so
you suck. Next question.
Oh, come on, Dan. That's not nice.
It's a joke.
So anyways, the album, you said it's 10 tracks long.
10 tracks long, yes.
10 tracks long. Okay. What's the longest song on there?
Offering a Fire, probably.
Which, how long is that?
It's like almost 6 minutes.
Six. All right. So the first song is like 6 minutes.
What song was that?
The Offering a Fire, the first song. But like our song Funeral Moon is like 5.
Yeah, that was pretty long too.
The album's 10 songs and it's almost 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's 45.
So you get your money's worth. It's not this half. It's not this 27-minute bullshit you get with every other band.
No interludes.
No interludes, no intro breakdown.
No outro. Actually, we got a couple of those. a little snare roll.
But yeah, there's it's all 10 full-fledged. I think no song is less than like 3.5 minutes.
Oh, definitely not.
Now, do you guys try to strive for that? Like this song,
it's
like,
my fault. Honestly, 100%. Yeah, it's 100% my fault because I just can't commit to like.
Take it up with Adam.
Like, I want to have certain riffs in the song, and I don't want to like. I want to give him justice, so like if it ends up being like I got to repeat this riff a couple times and the song takes 4.5 minutes, like more bang for your buck, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Come on, man. Definitely. I'm one of those people that when I hear like that sick riff in a song, and it's only once, I'm like, dude, you should have found a way to repeat that a second time at
least.
That's
what I'm saying. And like sometimes that honestly is this album though, because like there's a lot of riffs. I'm like, this is sick. And then we got to put it in again. And then I was like, oh, but this riff is sick, so we'll put it in again. Next minute, no, it's a fucking 6 minute long song. And I don't know, but I feel like it goes quick though. It's a quick listen.
It sounds longer than it is. Like the first song.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's from my perspective. I wouldn't, because I have really bad like musical. I don't think music ADD is a real thing, but I have like a short attention span for music, and I don't really get that bored easily of this, which is cool because like I normally hate all of her stuff, so this is cool that I hate this.
I was gonna say, do you think it's like that because it's your own music? But since you hate it, then I guess I found the answer to that.
But usually most stuff like right away, I'm already like, man, like I could have done so much better, and like this sucks. So
you're
like
a harsh critic.
Yeah, I'm the worst critic in the band. I'm the worst person to be in this band.
If I could Men in Black pen flash the whole world of every tune we've ever diddled out of our instruments up until this point, I would. But you know, it just gives more contrast and just shows how much we've grown. You know, so it's like you can't erase the past, though, even if we don't like it. You know, or if we're not that we're not proud of it, we'll always be proud of everything we've ever done. But like you know, we're just so passionate about the new stuff. And to be honest, I know everyone in the band, you know, could talk amongst each other and say that we've never felt this with a release. And, you know, even the first song we released today, it's like great that we released that song, but I just, it's so relieving for me to know that that song is not even in my top five of my favorite songs.
It's not
songs.
My top five.
It's not even in the top five. Like,
it might be top five. It might be fifth.
Might be, yeah, if that, you know? So like, I just know there's so much more for people to come enjoy, because like most of the times when a band announces an album and puts out a song, you find yourself going to that one song always, because I mean, not saying that it's the best song on the album, but sometimes that's the case, you know. But we want to give people, it was the perfect representation of the album. It has every element that we're about to hit people with.
It's also the first song we wrote for the album, so we learned a lot about writing the rest of the album off that song.
Yeah, actually, I didn't think about that.
So that's the way that I like that. Everything that we did on the rest of the album for the other nine songs is based off of what we kind of learned while writing this first song. So I don't know. I think that we're super excited about it. So, and it's usually never the case. Like after the first month of getting our mixes back, I'm like, fuck, this stuff sucks. And we've had this song specifically since April, cause we recorded in two parts. So we've had this song since April, and I still enjoy the first five songs we recorded. I enjoy the second five songs we recorded. So yeah. I think we're very excited, very proud. Just like a proud dad seeing his kid score two goals at soccer on Sunday. So
I'm Will Ferrell kicking and screaming right now.
That's love that movie. Great movie.
Did you just push a kid?
Honestly, very underrated.
It is. He's up on that.
No one fucks with kicking and screaming.
Corduroy jacket.
I love the coffee part. The when he gets the espresso machine.
That is actually I drink too much coffee. I feel
and that's why that'll explain the BPMs on the albums too.
that's
240.
Yeah, 260.
Adam likes tapping out the tempos with his pad, but you know he doesn't realize when his hand's fidgeting with the coffee, they go fast. He's like, oh dude, that's 320.
Just goes on overdrive.
Let's cut it back to 280, all right?
Yeah, it is what it is.
I'll tell you, one thing, we're not scared to push ourselves. So anytime people hear our music, you know, but in the beginning, people were like, these guys can't even play this stuff. And that's the most relieving thing to hear, honestly, as a band, because people might be like, take it as like disrespect, like, oh, they're saying I can't play this stuff. But that just gives you more of a reason to want to prove them wrong, to show you can play it. And, you know, we've been touring for, you know, 2-3 years, and people said that shit for, you know, long time. And, you know, we're still out here playing and people enjoy us live. So it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick to just let people know they just fucking sit at home and eat cookies all day and don't do shit.
Yep. Hit that bong.
Dude, we're circus animals, man. Let me out the damn cage.
Bounce that ball on my nose.
Yes.
You missed the analogy.
Hell yeah.
Connor's here. Say hi, Connor. Just introduce yourself. Don't say anything else after that.
What's up? My name's Connor, and I'm here, and that's all Austin is allowing me to say.
He's from Pennsylvania, so that's weird.
Couple hot guys.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
That's very weird. Yeah. They.
Where are they from?
New Jersey.
See?
That was a fail.
You hear the attitude of that guy's freaking.
Yeah, where are you from, huh?
It's because he lives in the woods. That's all right.
I'm from the Hicks, man.
Yeah. Dude.
Well, speaking of Hicks, well, not really Hicks, but Knoxville, Tennessee, December 10th at the Concourse, opening up for White Motherfucking Chapel.
Listen, man, for your sake, let's cut, let's edit, boom, start that over. Let's talk about the White Chapel show. Tell us something.
White Chapel show, okay. We're excited. I think we, almost every year, we do like a Christmas show, like in Jersey, so it's kind of cool to play another show with a bigger band, so that's kind of cool. To do something that's kind of beneficial around Christmas. I love Christmas time, so I think it's kind of cool that's, like, beneficial for, like, you know, kids in need. So,
some for the kiddies.
Yeah. And I do like Tennessee. Playing Tennessee is cool. So
we haven't played that area. So we played Johnson City, which was more North Carolina, but we haven't played actual, like, Tennessee since our first tour ever. Nashville. We've never played Memphis.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong then. I think something
else. Remember, we played the end. That's it.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah, well, we're very excited to go play with Whitechapel. We played with them like a month ago.
That's it.
At Loudfest. So that was cool to play at Whitechapel. We never really did a tour with them. We've always done like one off shows like what we're doing.
Yeah, this will be number 3?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 or something like that. So
who knows? Maybe we'll land a tour.
You never know. That could be 2017. You never know what could happen. Or unless you have stuff planned out already.
We might already know about, but we can't tell you, okay?
Well, we do got something going on.
We got something big. Don't worry, Dan. We'll be talking in a couple of months.
There we go. All right. So, damn, I was about to say blink if it's a yes, but obviously I can't see you right now. But does Warp Tour or, you know, what's that other one? What's that other fucking
Uproar?
Festival? No, not Uproar. The Scene Festival. Fuck, All Stars. There we go.
Yeah.
One of those two.
Oh, that's like a heavy. That's the heavy one at Starland, right?
They haven't played in like a year, but I think the last one was at Game Changer World, locally.
Yeah, that's they're doing it this year in the winter, but we have something else going on in the winter. It's just as cool.
All right, if it's not cooler.
I probably didn't think it's cooler because we got invited to play this tour. So
this tour wants us,
so that's cooler for us. But no, I think this tour is going to be really cool. We got going on. That's
any
all
hints?
I can. Any hints?
Yeah.
That's going to be...
It's our dads.
It's sick. Yeah, it's sick. It's going to be a long period of time. We're probably hitting every city in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, probably pretty much. We're going to be gone for a while. Our album's going to be coming out on that tour. But that's no secret. But
and
yeah.
So mid-February, that's when the tour is.
Yes, that's pretty much... It's
around the album.
It's around the album. That's probably the best I can kind of do. I will tell you right now that I'm really excited. And I'm not just saying that because we're playing it, but I think there's a lot of really good bands on. I think it's a lot of good drawing acts, and I'm kind of glad that we're a part of it. So,
all right, awesome. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that. Let's see. How did the whole thing with Metal Injection come about with your your latest single?
Probably through Outer Loop and like our publicist. Like, you know, that's kind of how it kind of came about. That's probably the best way I can explain it, because I just think one day we got a message from Mike or email from Mike saying it's being premiered through Metal Injection, and I was like, "Cool, great," because we never get premiered through shit. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to be premiered through like a website that I kind of like watch or go watch videos on. So it's kind of cool to see that. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you happen to read the comments yet or no?
Yeah, someone told us we suck or something like that. But that's
yeah, you do not want to read the comments.
My favorite comment, Dan. We never read, but my favorite comment. Just I don't even care. It's actually really funny. But the kid wrote. Enough with the distortion on the vocals, this, that, and the other thing. And some kid was like, "Yo, he sounds just like that live. There's no distortion." He's like, "Well, he probably sucks live too."
I look good on him, man.
No, yes, I read the one on Metal Injection. He was saying that it's like all irrelevant. It's all the same, yada yada yada. I'm sure this kid plays zero guitar, zero instruments. And
I think I saw one bad one on Facebook. It was like out of all the shares, there's like just one kid who's like sounds like every other. Best
yeah, player. No, I mean
these guys suck, but I'm gonna share it. You're like, okay, thanks.
Bad publicity, no such thing.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to expect that, especially on the internet where people have no regard to say whatever they want. Like, it's okay. Like, we take that with a grain of salt. Like, I used to get mad and, like, get angry about, like, YouTube comments. I think now we joke about it and laugh. We'll screenshot it to send each other, like, look what someone said about us. Yeah, so, I mean, I think we've learned to enjoy the not that we love it, but just, like, we've learned to laugh it off because, like, there also is an influx of all of this good stuff that people are saying about it. So like the one negative comment's not going to get rid of the 100 good comments, you know?
Just know that we're a bunch of corn dogs, though. If anyone asks if Lawrence Shore was a physical entity,
it's a corn dog.
It would be a corn dog with a nice big stick through it.
And a circus animal.
Yeah.
And you know what? Both those things belong in the right place.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yes.
You go to the circus and you get a corn dog.
Don't forget, alligator cross contamination is a thing,
and that's a thing too. So don't forget all these key points that we got going on. When you make this podcast or whatever this is gonna be, you might have to make chapters in it. So you know, let's time mark the alligator. You know,
cross contamination.
Let's give people a nice, you know, a nice Bible reading of what where to go in the interview if you want to get certain information, because there's a lot of good stuff in here, guys. I don't know if you feel good about this, but we're over here feeling really fucking good.
We feel very inspired and very enlightened.
We're gonna go to practice and just play the shit out of our instruments in like 10 minutes.
Warner Shore's woke.
There we go. I mean, this was actually one of my favorite interviews, just because, you know, I hate the interviews where it's like, okay, you have a new album, talk about it. Okay, how long have you been a band for? Okay, talk about that. And, like, you know, I hate when the host, like, feeds you shit. Like, I love talking about whatever the fuck pops up. Like, did you honestly think you were going to talk about all this stuff in this interview?
I'm just really glad, again, to really hone this in. I'm really glad we talked about alligator cross contamination.
People need to hear this stuff. They need to get
these are the issues.
It is an issue, and it's an epidemic, because you don't want to get a cheeseburger with
you explained the issue.
Yes,
right?
Okay. We explained it, and like I'm telling you right now, like people might think it's a joke, might be worried about climate change.
Fuck reptilians. And, fuck what you know.
Until it happens to them.
It's reptilian cross contamination.
You don't mess with that, and you don't mess with circus animals, and that's what the band's like.
And
so,
Connor's from PA,
and Connor's from Pennsylvania. People know that.
And has a bad attitude towards us.
That's a bad attitude. Yes. He has a shit ass attitude. Yeah,
this interview is
fucking suck ass white.
Yeah, so that's what we think.
But yeah, thank you for giving us a nice platform to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
No problem.
That's what made it nice and comfortable. I feel like we're all just hanging out in a nice powwow right now, passing.
Yeah, because like even the inverse of this, like sometimes we'll get questions that just like very run the mill. So like on tour, so how's tour? How are these shows going? What's your favorite city to play? What's going on with you? You know, it's the same kind of thing. And I feel like this is more kind of how we are, like in the van or around each other. Like it's nonsense stuff that's being tossed around, and we're just normal people. We're not cool rock stars and do drugs and bang hookers in bathrooms. We don't do that.
Yes, we've established this.
Yeah, as long as you know, as long as people might have a doubt, that's what we don't do. We're just a bunch of random dudes just talking nonsense and concerned about what kind of bun our burger's going to be.
Yes, onion or pretzel.
Pretzel. Honestly, if you don't get pretzel and you have the option, you are like literally fucking up.
You are not American.
Absolutely, man.
No, you definitely aren't American, because like even pretzel is like a German thing still. Like you're not American.
Yeah, but we brought back pretzel rolls.
Oh, we brought back a lot.
We
of
took
things.
It back, yes.
Well, that wasn't ours. Yeah, that's
the now advantage. It is. It's like Talladega Nights, where it's like, yeah, well, America has the best French food. We came up with pizza, Italy. We came up with baguettes, France. I don't know, that's why I just thought about this whole thing.
That's pretty much what it is. But yeah, if there's any other question you have, any serious questions or any that we're more than welcome to answer.
We didn't even practice soon.
Where are we? It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 hours, bro.
Dude, it takes forever.
Shut up.
I gotta meet Tommy early.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
There we go. Well, I mean, this is a good place to end. If anything, we'll have a part two closer to when the album comes out.
Honestly, if you want to do it, let me know. We'll hang out. We'll talk some more issues. Maybe we'll come up with some new ones and
Maybe there will be a new case of contamination with some other animal that we have to talk
about. Don't joke about it. You joke when you go to the South and they make your burger on top of the same place they make your alligator.
Man.
It'll be an issue.
Man. Make sure that they swap the cutting board wherever you're at, dude. This is fucking serious, man.
Exactly. But if you ask for it, it's like 90% of the time they're going to do it.
Listen, you don't even have to ask for the alligator. And, dude, you just have to be fucking careful.
Okay.
It's Savannah, Georgia, where Forrest Gump was filmed, in case you didn't know.
Yes. And Connor went to the bench and it wasn't even there. So just know that his shit attitude derives from that time where he just got let the fuck down.
Had to walk back to the venue a mile away by himself.
Yeah, you had the sad Peanuts theme going on in the background. Dun, 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 dun.
He smug on all night.
Yeah, and then we got burritos that sucked that day. And Tom punched him.
and punch them all into our van.
Yeah. So that's Savannah, and that's where all this issues are come about.
Gotcha. So for the people in the South who are visiting the South, these issues matter.
They do matter, and your voice matters.
Exactly.
I don't know, people say that about animals. That they're the voice for the voiceless. I don't know.
Tell your congressman.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Before I let you go, is there a song do you want me to play out of this podcast? Should I go with Denounce the Light?
Yeah, if you don't do it, that'd be okay, but I'd rather you do that.
They will find us.
Yes. We're not that hard to find, even though we told you our exact location.
We know what town you're in, and I still got to figure out where Butler is, but I'll go to the Willowbrook Mall, and I'll find your ass.
I frequent that place. All right, guys. Have a great practice. Great show tomorrow. An awesome show down in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we can't wait for the album, so it's going
to
be a good one.
And if you're not to a show, come say hi, because we don't give a fuck.
Well, I do, man. You're not rock stars. Go up to them and say what up.
Yes, go do it. And that includes you, too, as well.
Will do. Fuck it.
Hell yeah.